What hour your clock strikes, here it's always Halloween! And I'm always your haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner. Welcome to Small Frights Friday. Each week, I like to share a curated selection of calls from the All Hallows Hotline and letters from the Eek Mailbag. This week, the All Hallows Hotline was positively ringing off the hook. There were barely enough ghosts standing by to take your calls. So today, this is an all calls episode. The first caller is someone you know, whose work you appreciate, and now you'll love him even more once you hear this spooky story. Gather around to hear a tale from my co-producer, editor, and sound designer extraordinaire, Pete Burns.
I would say, just like mother, so is son, I left you a long-winded message and I got cut off. So let's try this one more time. This is Pete, of course, your sound designer, your friend. And I've been saying that I was going to call into the All Hallows Hotline and share something. It's just taken me a while to figure out what I wanted to share. So I thought I would share kind of a spooky bit of folklore from around my hometown. I grew up in the western Chicago suburbs, and there was a road called Munger Road on which there was supposedly this haunted train track. The story goes that there was a school bus full of children who, for whatever reason, had their bus stall out on top of these train tracks. And surprise, surprise, a train comes barreling through, and unfortunately, all the passengers of the school bus suffer an untimely end. The story goes, if you take your car to Munger Road in the evening and you park it in neutral on these train tracks and wait, that these benevolent ghosts will push you off the track so you don't have to suffer the same fate. There are also other aspects of this. Some people would say throw flour on your car and you would see the little hand prints. So fast forward to me being old enough to drive. I went with my friend and his mom and we decided to try this out. We didn't do the flour, but we parked the car in neutral on the tracks at Munger Road and we waited and we waited. And lo and behold, we did roll off the tracks. Now, I will admit the tracks were slightly more elevated off the road than the surrounding road. So perhaps the benevolent force was gravity. Perhaps the benevolent force was a school bus full of children pushing us off the tracks. But I'm curious if anybody else has any local suburban folklore to share. This was ours, and it was actually made into a very bad movie a couple of years ago called Munger Road. That's it. Of course, I love the pod. I love you. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And I hope everybody has a spooky rest of their night.
Pete, you gave me the chills. I gotta say, I listened to your message several times, and each time, a little rabbit ran over my grave. Did anybody know that saying? My mom used to say that to me every time I got the chills, and it is has terrifying implications. The idea is that if you get a chill, what that means is that a rabbit somewhere in the world is running over where you will be buried in the future. Oh, doesn't that just mess with you? Anywhoozle, Pete, this story is great. I had never heard of Munger Road before, but you are going to love the fact that I have a very similar urban legend from my hometown. Two urban legends that correspond to two of the qualities in your urban legend. Okay, so I grew up in Elyria, Ohio. It's in Lorain County outside of Cleveland along Lake Erie. And there's like a pretty popular set of waterfalls and a river that runs through Elyria called the Black River. And we have two parks that are connected that are really big in our town, Elywood and Cascade. And when you were on the side of Cascade Park, there's this really disturbingly small bridge that's like a single lane bridge. So when you're driving through the park, if you're crossing the bridge, no, if someone comes around the other side, they have to stop. Otherwise, you'll get into an accident on the bridge because it's so, so tight. So the legend was that if you stopped your car on the bridge and you had it in neutral, that then your car would get like started up and like pushed off the bridge by somebody, by like a ghost or someone that got killed on that bridge by a car. So it's very similar to your story. We did try the urban legend out once to see if it would work. I had a station wagon in high school and I used to cart all my friends around in it because I was one of the first ones to get my license. And the station wagon was packed this night. We were driving through the park. It was really dark, really late. And so I stopped my car on the bridge and like turned it off and we were pitch black, lights off. It's terrifying. And one of my jerkier guy friends who was sitting in the back seat, I didn't realize that he had rolled his window down. He like crawled out and like slammed his whole arm against my driver's side window and scared the bejesus out of me. I screamed. I was so upset and I took everyone home because I was so bummed. So we didn't have quite the same experience that you did. I'm going to choose to believe that ghost children scared or saved you, that ghost children saved you. I want to know if that was terrifying. Did you and your friend scream? Because that would have really messed me up. Then the other story that's similar to your Munger Road story is Gore Orphanage in Vermilion, Ohio, was a road that my family and I would drive under sometimes on the highway, and it always scared me as a kid. And the legend that went with that was that there used to be an orphanage on Gore Orphanage Road, and it was run by this man and woman, their name's Gore. And one night the orphanage burned down and everyone was trapped inside, and it killed, you know, however many children and the Gore family. And that the only thing that's there now is like the foundation of the orphanage because it burned all the way down. So the legend had it that if you drove to Gore Orphanage and you got out of your car to walk around the site and then came back to your car, it would be covered in little children's handprints. So I was actually too chicken to ever try that one out. But another funny thing is that Gore Orphanage was made into a shoddy independent film, just like your Munger Road legend. So I think that's very funny. I would love to hear from listeners what your hometown urban legends are. I would love to do a chapter in the future on urban legends, but that'll be far in advance. So why don't you call in, share some funny, scary, creepy stuff with us. Let us know if you ever partook in any legend, tried to figure out if it was real or not, if you believe in urban legends. Let us know. Thanks so much, Pete. That was a scream. Up next, we have a call about cemeteries from Courtney.
Hi, Luce. This is Courtney from Color Me Courtney on Instagram. Huge fan of yours. I found out about you from the Suki Vegan, who is also a Suki friend of everything Halloween. So happy that we are connected here. I look forward to Tuesdays and Fridays hearing your podcasts for my long drives and long walks. So thank you for that. I was excited to connect with you too and kind of put this question out there to the hotline to see if anybody else grew up going to cemeteries with their family, not just by themselves, but with their family and making it a whole to-do, like a whole gathering. Every first Saturday of the month, my family and I would go to our family's graveyard site and we would have a huge potluck with all the other families that had loved ones buried there. And what we would do is, you know, everyone would bring a dish and we would talk about our loved ones and talk about keeping the grounds well kept, you know, with the flowers and talking about how many plots are left. And when I was a kid, me and my cousin would go play around. I have a very fond memory of us jumping and climbing on this big mound of dirt that we called the giant's grave. And we would pretend that there was a big giant buried there when really it was just dirt piled up that they had been using, I'm sure, to make the big plots. But I just have never thought that cemetery grounds were scary or spooky in a negative way, spooky in a fun way. So it was really strange to me and jarring when I got older when people would say that they were scared of graveyards. I'm like, why? I had nothing but positive memories around it. So I wanted to see if anybody else's families have done that, if they had these kind of fun experiences, very cozy feelings around graveyards. So kind of putting it out there and just kind of see if my family's not the only ones. That'd be kind of neat. I live in Texas, so I don't know if anybody has gone to the U.S. Texas graveyard. That's the one that I frequent every year, so I'd love to hear back. But again, thank you for all that you do. I look forward to future podcasts and learning all the things you tell us about Halloween. Thanks.
Courtney, thank you so very much for your kind words. I'm so delighted to hear that you're enjoying the podcast, and I'm thrilled that the Spooky Vegan connected us. For all of our listeners who love Halloween and horror and also eating plant-based meals, taking care of the environment and the animals, the Spooky Vegan blog is fantastic, and her Instagram is just as fun, and it's the perfect like niche community within a niche community. I just love it. So to answer your question, you and I have talked about this on Instagram before, but my origin story is that I grew up across the street from a cemetery. So I used to play in a cemetery almost every day for all of my childhood and my tween years before I was able to drive, and just hung out around the neighborhood and biked around town. My dad taught me how to ride a bike in that cemetery, taught me how to roller skate in that cemetery. We used to go as a family to do grave rubbings, which is something I loved when I was a kid, but I haven't done in a really long time. Does anybody out there still do grave rubbings? I think it's really pretty. And our cemetery also had a lot of really big, beautiful gravestones in like the there was one that was like benches. And so we would like sit there and have picnics and stuff together. And then when I was a tween teen, like 12, 13, 14, my best friend Aaron and I would always hang out in the cemetery. We would go to the BP station, which was right across the street, and we'd get a box of Hostess powdered sugar donuts and two bottles of strawberry kiwi Snapple and a bag of gummy worms. And then we would go and we would sit on our favorite grave, which was this giant, huge rectangular grave. And we'd go, it was like twice as big of us. We'd like crawl up on top of us, sit on it, and eat our snacks. And then we would make up stories about the people who were buried in that grave and the people who were buried all around. And we would come up with these long, you know, creative stories about their lives. And it's just like one of my favorite memories. I love being in cemeteries. So please, listeners, let us know. What are your thoughts on cemeteries? Do you spend time there? Do you do family stuff there? Let's hear it. I would love it if somebody went to the same cemetery that Courtney did. What a fun small world connection that would be to make. Well, thank you so much for calling, Courtney. This was a fantastically fun message, and I can't wait to hear what our listeners have to say about cemeteries next week. Okay, now we've got a call from a listener who is responding to my query about superstitions on last week's Friday the 13th episode.
Hi, Lisa. First of all, I just want to say, not only do I love your podcast, but I love the message when we call in to leave a voicemail. it's Monday. My whole family just tested negative for COVID, and I get to go back to work. So, yay. Anyway, I wanted to call in about the Friday the 13th episode because growing up, my mom was very superstitious. I mean, to the point that it drove us all kind of batty, I think. Like, we didn't really go anywhere on Friday the 13th unless, like, as teenagers, we had football games or basketball games or some sort of competition for band or speech debate, you know, that kind of thing. Like, we were allowed to go, but we had to get home, like, right away as soon as everything was done. Like, Mom, chill. It's just a day. So, like, one of the things, I mean, ladders, like, don't go under ladders, and black cats, oh, gosh, I can't tell you how many times we would be, like, my brothers and sister and I, or brother and sister and I only have one of each, but we'd have a ball game of some kind out of town in the summer, especially, and if we were coming back home, like, say we were an hour and a half, 2 hours away, and we're coming back home and we are tired, and we just want to just get home, you know, so we can just get to bed. We could be almost home, and a black cat would run out in front of us, and my mom would turn the car around and go 20 more miles out of the way to go around to get to our house. And we lived out in the country in the middle of nowhere. So, like, that extra 20 miles just added to the frustration of, oh, my gosh, Mom, really? But, yeah, she wouldn't. She's like, oh, no, we can't go that way. There's a black cat. I'm like, oh. Like, to the point that I had a poster. I loved black cat so much I wanted one, you know? Not in defiance of my mother. I just really wanted one. And I had a poster of one, a big one, in my bedroom. And the only reason she let me keep it up is it had, like, one little white hair on its neck. And I'm like, yeah, Mom. I was like, I think that's just a scratch on the poster. But, yeah, Mom, that's a white hair. Anyway, so the other thing that she would do is she always threw salt over her shoulder. And she still does this. I mean, to the point that I'm like, Mom, now I'm going to vacuum, you know, or get a sweeper or something. And she's just so funny. I just love her so much. But the penny thing, like, as kids, we did that a lot. I don't do it as much now, especially with COVID. But my son thinks it's fun. So, like, you know, I kind of play along with him. I was like, okay, well, let's, you know, wash the penny, wash your hands. But yeah, so for my professional life, I'm a painter. So, you know, my mom's like, don't go to ladders. And I'm like, Mom, I paint. I have to sometimes be under a ladder with someone on top of the ladder. Like, you know, I paint for theater opera. So, like, I'm always finding myself in weird positions, especially under ladders. So it's not a big deal, you know. The other thing, though, is I do not say the name of the Scottish play. I will either say the Scottish play, which I don't say that. I don't say it that much that often unless someone looks at me funny. But I usually just say Macbeth, and people usually get it, which is really funny because my artistic director at this job that I've been at now for 3 years, his last name is, instead of Mac, it's Nick B. I still don't say it because I'm like, Christopher, your last name is cursed. but I am very sure. I mean, I've done that play, I think twice, and I have worked at 4 different Shakespeare festivals, and I still, even if, you know, I can write it on a piece of paper, but, like, I won't say the name, basically. So that's pretty funny. I don't believe that black cats are bad luck. I don't believe that Friday the 13th is bad luck. So, you know, I go out or whatever. I don't throw salt over my shoulder. I do knock wood. So thanks to my mom, there are a few things that I still do, but, like, but I don't do all of them anymore. And if I'm tired, I'm going home. I don't care if there's a cat or not. All right. I hope everything is well. And, thank you so much for the podcast. It's been a great joy. And my son loves it so much too. So thank you for making it family friendly, and, have a great day. Bye.
my goodness, caller, your mom sounds like a handful. I am impressed that you seem to still love and cherish her, and good on you. But wow, what an exhausting childhood. And I am surprised that you held on to any superstition. I wouldn't blame you if you were like, that's all a bunch of bull. I'm never partaking in that again. Sorry, that was my very bad impression of you. I don't think that you sound like that. Please, don't be offended. I do really appreciate that you and I both have the Scottish play superstition and the knocking on wood superstition. And I have to agree with you and double, triple underline the fact that black cats are not bad luck. They need love. They need homes. They're the cats that get adopted the least. You know, they get adopted and then, you know, for like Halloween and Friday the 13th, so much so that most shelters will not let cats, black cats, be adopted during those times because it's like, what's your motivation? And is this cat going to get brought back here? I want to do a whole chapter, a whole episode on black cats and then connected to the superstition and their, you know, roles as familiars with witches. So that's all on the big plan. The big plan is a giant notebook with a novelty pen where I write down all my ideas, and that's all there. Don't worry, it's coming. I really appreciate those stories. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing them with us. And I'm just delighted to hear that your son enjoys the podcast. I love hearing from families and kids that listen, young people that listen. I have loved Halloween since I was like 4 or 5, and I wanted to make something for little me and all the other creatures out there that are like me who want to read scary books in the corner of their school library. And I wanted something to be for all ages. So I'm really happy to hear that all ages are enjoying it. All right, let's hear from our next caller who is bringing us a fun recommendation.
Yes, hello. Again, thank you for your podcast. It's always entertaining and keeps me thinking and on my toes. Love your approach towards Halloween and everything Halloween, and the respect that you've given to the Day of the Dead celebration as well. So thank you for all that. I don't know if you've shared any other spooky type podcasts or anything, but podcasts that I've been following for a few years now shares true ghost stories from people who actually experienced them, usually through their own voice, called Spooked. It is hosted by Glenn Washington, and it's fantastic. Gives me a great spook when I'm out here on the road. So again, Spooked, I strongly recommend it. And again, keep up the great work. We appreciate you out here.
Well, I just can't thank you enough for that thoughtful message. It feels so good to be appreciated, and I am happy to be bringing you guys some joy every week. And I am so grateful to you, caller, for bringing this recommendation to us, because I have never heard of this podcast before, and it sounds so interesting. It sounds 100% up our alley and just what we need to keep experiencing the frights all year round. So again, it's called Spooked, and its you know, more formal title is Snap Judgment Presents Spooked. And it's by WNYC Studios. And just like our caller said, Spooked features true life supernatural stories told firsthand by people who can barely believe it happened themselves. Wow, my curiosity is piqued, and I'm looking forward to listening to this after we wrap up this recording. But before we go, I just want to read a message from a friend of the podcast, Chrissy Baker, who is going through a little bit of a rough time right now. So I want us all to send her and her husband like a big basket full of positive spooky vibes, good, cheerful jack-o'-lantern, PG hocus-pocus vibes. Okay, Chrissy writes, I've been catching up on your episodes. I loved the scary stories to tell in the dark episode. We watched the movie over Halloween season, and then we watched the documentary this week. My husband has never heard of them, which I think is crazy. And I remembered that I loved horror as a kid, and I used to read these books all the time. I'd even read them before bed, and I'd sleep just fine. I was a strange little kid. That's okay, Chrissy. We were all strange little kids, and that's why we found ourselves here, a group of Halloweenies, Halloween heads, Halloweeners. Listen, y'all, I am still trying to figure out a fun name for listeners. I've had some suggestions so far. I've gotten Samhainites. I've gotten Boo Crew. I've gotten Hellions. Are there any other suggestions? Maybe we should do a poll soon on the Instagram at It's Always Halloween Podcast. Figure out a good name for listeners. You know, I think ever since My Favorite Murder got Murderinos, it's just like, dang, what a great name. We all have to have good names. Anyways, thank you so much, Chrissy. I'm delighted to hear you enjoyed the Scary Stories episode. I got that message before the most recent Aaron Kelly's Bones episode came out. So now there are two scary stories out there in the It's Always Halloween universe. I hope you guys have been enjoying those. I will be this week. I'm going to be recording two ghost stories to put up on Patreon, and that's for the $13 a month subscribers and the $16 a month subscriber. So check that out. If you love the ghost stories, if you like to hear me read stories, I'm going to be releasing two of those a month for patrons. So you can check out the Patreon at patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween. And the patrons have decided that they want to be called the Ghoul Gang. So join the Ghoul Gang on Patreon, where we watch movies twice a month. We'll do ghost stories twice a month. And I send out newsletters and all kinds of special like links and goodies for people who are signed up. It's just getting started, but I have big plans. And the more support I can get on Patreon, the more I can do with the podcast. And my goal right now is to hit $500 a month, which would pay for the cost it takes to produce the podcast. So hey, help me get there and I can do even more work and put out even more fun stuff for you guys. Thank you so much to all of the listeners, all of the callers. You guys make this show extra special and I couldn't do it without you. So if you are not following us on Instagram, swing on by. It's Always Halloween Podcasts. Give me a little hello. And if you're enjoying the podcast and you can't subscribe on Patreon, you want to do something to help me out, help Pete out, please write us a little review on Apple Podcasts. That helps basically push us up the algorithm in Apple, and it pushes us up towards the top so that, you know, people can find us and we can build an even bigger community. It's Always Halloween is researched, written, and performed by me, Luce Tomlin-Brenner. The editing, theme music, and sound design is by the lovely Pete Burns. Thanks, Pete. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at LTB Comedy and Pete at Mittenberries. You can also find the podcast on the NPR One app, so subscribe to us there. And hey, thanks again for listening and supporting It's Always Halloween. And please come back next time, unless you're too busy washing all those little child ghost hands off your car. Ooh.